Grace and peace be yours in abundance from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God for our sermon this morning is the first lesson this morning, recorded in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Dearly loved by God in Christ, at our Labor Day retreat sessions, which are currently going on up at Lake Placid, Professor Wendland, president of our seminary, is leading us into a correct worldview. In a very real way, that's what Moses was doing with the children of Israel as they stood on the east side of the Jordan River, poised to enter the Promised Land after a rugged journey across the desert from the land of Egypt into the place God promised to their fathers. Now we realize that both Professor Wendland and Moses are but voices. They are but mouthpieces of the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who leads us into the knowledge and acceptance of the truth of the theme of our retreat. More than humdrum, seeing life as a holy calling. This morning, based on the words of our text, I'll share with you some thoughts I shared with the group last evening. As we put it just a little bit different way, and see that the Lord our God leads us from dreadful desert to promise prosperity. See, first of all, that the Lord humbles and tests us so that it will go well with us. And secondly, that it is the Lord who gives the power and the strength to earn wealth so that His covenant is fulfilled. One of the first things Professor Wendland pointed out in our first session yesterday is how easy it is for all of us to fall into the habit of thinking of our lives as humdrum. Now, I realize, and I'm not going to try to fool you and say, life is always exciting. Life is always filled with wonderful diversity. Life is always edgy. That keeps us on our toes and moving forward. You know as well as I do that sometimes life's boring. Sometimes life lacks variety. Sometimes the day-to-day things we need to do are just plain dull. Well, it's no different for us, really, than it was for the children of Israel as they traveled from Egypt to the Promised Land. I'll suggest this morning that perhaps it was even worse for them. Humdrum? It took them 40 years to go about 300 miles. Every day they ate the same food. Every day they wore the same clothes and the same shoes because they didn't wear out. They didn't have an election every 4 years to choose new leadership. For four decades they had to follow the leaders whom God had placed over them. Imagine traveling day after day, trudging through the desert, always looking at the back of the same person in front of you. Talk about humdrum. Their lives certainly were that. And Moses sums it up. Speaking of the Lord God, he said, He led you through the vast and dreadful desert, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. Sure, things have been tough. Yes, things had been humbling, and the Lord had been testing them. But after all, He reminded them that they did have food every day, manna to eat in the desert. Every day they had clean and fresh water that flowed from solid rock. Even the humdrum, mundane things of bread and water came from the Lord's hands as He opened those hands and satisfies the desire of every living thing. Moses said, there was a purpose, though, for this. As fire strengthens steel, their humbling and their testing, that is, their proving, in that journey through life, had a purpose. And it had a goal. That it may end up well with you. The Lord used those things to have them rely less and less each day on themselves and more on His word and promise. More and more on His care and provision. More and more on their assurance that God was not going to let the promise of their Savior and ours die out in that dreadful desert. No matter how humdrum it was, that journey was a holy calling for which God had chosen them and for which He would strengthen them. And boy, they needed strength, didn't they? They traveled as nomads among nation after nation of strangers. They were on a long and arduous journey. Every day they dug grave after grave of an entire generation that turned against the Lord and would never enter the promised land. But the Lord reminded them that He had called them to be His own from among all the nations of the earth. He had called them and delivered them from slavery in Egypt to the freedom now to go to this new land. He called them to inherit that promised land that He had first promised to Abraham about 500 years before. Sure, now they were traveling through a dreadful desert, and now they were tempted to think of their lives as humdrum. But God wanted them to think of their lives as a holy calling, something special that by His grace He had given them when they didn't deserve it. Sound familiar? Maybe even sound a little personal? God called each of you out of all the nations of the earth to be His own. God called you out of the slavery of your sin and death and hell to live in the freedom of His Son, Jesus Christ. You and I are on a journey through a dreadful desert. But it's not a humdrum journey. It's a holy calling. Something that God by grace has given us and keeps us in even when we don't deserve it. And God humbles us. And God tests and proves us in life. Sometimes it's enjoyable. Sometimes it's painful. But life has a purpose. Life has a goal that in the end, it may go well with you. God has in Christ delivered us from that slavery to our sinful nature that we heard Paul speak about in our second lesson, and has given us those gifts of the Holy Spirit that keep our lives from being humdrum. but blessings in our holy calling, love, joy, peace, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and the others. The purpose of their journey was to inherit promised prosperity that God had said He would give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so God was taking them from dreadful desert to promised prosperity. And He reminded them that when they were enjoying that prosperity, not to forget Him. Not to think that they were the ones by their strength that had achieved all of these things. It is the Lord who gives strength to gain wealth so that His covenant, His promise to us may be fulfilled. I hope you caught that Moses speaks in terms of when rather than if when he talks about this promised prosperity. He said, when you have eaten and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase. Moses was telling them, this is going to happen. This is going to come about because it is God's covenant to you for the sake of the promised Messiah. And when those things came about, they were going to be tempted to say, it's my power that have gained these things. It's my strength that has earned this wealth. They would be tempted to lift up their hearts in pride and arrogance before the Lord. And so Moses reminded them, don't forget the Lord your God, failing to observe His commands, His laws, and decrees. On the contrary, they were to lift up their hearts. Sound familiar? We do it in our liturgy. The pastor says, lift up your hearts. And you respond, we lift them up to the Lord. Moses is saying, when you have these herds and flocks, when you have this abundance of silver and gold, when you've eaten and are satisfied, then lift up your hearts to the Lord. Because He is the one who has given you the power to gain that wealth. So that His covenant to you is fulfilled. For Israel, that covenant centered around the hub of the promised Savior to come. For us, that prosperity centers around the Savior who has come. It centers around Jesus Christ, in whom God has forgiven all of our sins, in whom God has released us from slavery, in whom God gives us all things, not only an abundance of material blessings, but more than an abundance of spiritual blessings by His grace. We spoke about this at some length a few weeks ago in our sermon based on those verses of Ecclesiastes 1 and 2, and we're continuing to talk about that in our Bible study on Ecclesiastes. Whatever I look at in life and do not see as coming from the hands of God for the sake of Christ is a vapor. It's meaningless. And then my life will become humdrum, and I will no longer see it as a holy calling, as God has called me, created me, brought me into His church. To forget the Lord is to forget His commands. To remember the Lord, that is, to keep the Lord in mind, is to obey His commands and His will and His statutes. Soon, when Israel crossed the Jordan River, again on dry ground, as God parted the river, as He did the Red Sea, and they inherited that land and conquered their enemies, they received God's promised prosperity. They inherited a land flowing with milk and honey. You ever thought about what milk and honey? Milk and honey doesn't mean wretched excess. It doesn't mean that the Lord was going to pile onto them all this lavish excess in their lives. A land of milk and honey is a land that is abundant in the basics. It's abundant in what you need every day to sustain your bodies and your lives. And that's what Israel inherited. That's what the Lord gives to us as He gives us the ability to work, as He gives us the ability to gain wealth, as He gives us promised prosperity. Not in the sense of the gospel of glory or the theology of glory that we hear so much out there, that if I am faithful, then God will be generous. But rather, it is the theology of the cross. As God has been faithful to me in Jesus being my Savior, that will lead me to be faithful. That gospel will lead me. It's not my prosperity. It is Christ's prosperity that He gives me in the gospel that leads me to be faithful. Life is not humdrum. Life is a holy calling. I can eat, drink, and be satisfied in my work, knowing that God created me, God redeemed me, and God sanctified me. Life is a holy calling in which I say grace when I eat, acknowledging that it is the grace of God in Jesus Christ that I have this meal before me and all other things, including my ability to earn the wealth to have that meal, that I do not have by my own strength, but only through Christ. You and I have the daily assurance that God takes us through this dreadful desert, and we don't want to carry that metaphor too far. So one of my professors used to say, I don't think we should call this earth a desert drear. It's still pretty nice, even though it's a fallen world. But in a sense, we're going through this dreadful desert, and the Lord is leading us to promised prosperity. Not just the material things we have now, but even better, those eternal blessings we'll enjoy being in God's presence forever. Amen.